The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So again, a really warm welcome to everybody. So earlier today, I read this sentence and I had to pause a little bit to think about it. And I thought, well, maybe I would share it with you all and see how it lands, or see what it thinks, or whatever, what it elicits, or what your response might be. And the sentence goes like this: there will never be a situation where being unkind to yourself, to others, or the situation that confronts you is going to make anything better. Ever is the next sentence. And then choose kindness always. Like, wow, you know, usually we don't use, or I like to shy away from these words like never and always. But I was trying to think about this. Okay, are there any exceptions where we wouldn't use never or always? There will never be a situation where being unkind to yourself or others or the situation that confronts you is going to make anything better. So, and then the author says, ever. Choose kindness always. I can imagine if you're being accosted, maybe this goes along with something I talked about the last time I was here about, you know, setting firm boundaries, that loving kindness can help us to maybe make some of the boundaries porous between us and other people. And then maybe this is kind of saying the opposite. Can we set really firm boundaries, but not filled with unkindness, but with kindness towards ourselves and with a very strong no that may include harsh language and may include biting and kicking or something if necessary. But I think maybe, I don't know, this in Dharma circles, there's this story that I've heard from so many different people. And I think part of it is because it's a powerful story. Apparently, Sharon Salzberg tells this story, and many of you know Sharon Salzberg. She's the one who's kind of really responsible for bringing loving kindness to the West here. She tells the story of being, I don't know, remember precisely where she was. I believe it was somewhere in India. And she was on a rickshaw, I believe. And somebody came and was trying to rob her. And she was with somebody else in the rickshaw driver. And it was, you know, scary, frightening. They didn't steal anything. But it was a very unnerving, right? Of course, those types of things are really upsetting. And if I remember correctly, Sharon was on the way to go see her teacher. I think it was Manindraji. And Sharon asked, well, what should I have done? You know, I tried. I'm appreciating loving kindness practice. What should I have done? And her teacher said, with all the loving kindness in your heart, you should have hit them over the head with your umbrella. And I kind of like that. So it's not that we're supposed to be passive and allow people to walk all over us or take advantage of us. But it's about not, you know, letting our heart be closed and dried up or something like this. And I think it's so common. I know I certainly had this idea before that being kind meant being passive, or being kind meant agreeing to things that I knew were not right or not correct or something like this. So is there a way to, you know, this is, can be a skill to learn how to be kind to ourselves and to others without having hostility, but being kind with setting very firm boundaries, saying no. No. And then maybe I'll just drop in this idea. Sometimes we're unkind to ourselves. So this sentence again, there will never be a situation where being unkind to yourself, others, or the situation that confronts you is going to make anything better. Sometimes we often slip into, or maybe I should say this, we allow the inner critic to become believable or persuasive or something like this. And, you know, it's not surprising. Many of us have been socialized this way. I know certainly I have been. I'm not sure if I know anybody who didn't have times of in their life in which they had this idea that, you know, to beat ourselves up was the way forward. But I just invite you to consider this. Is there a situation where being unkind will make things better? Maybe we should think about, you know, better in the long term, in the big picture. And so meditating regularly, loving kindness practice, mindfulness practice, whichever meditation practice we do, can be a way in which we can, you know, not have our hearts collapse or close down, or maybe have a way in which it's easier to get access to kindness in the midst of difficulties. I think often we're unkind when we're faced with difficulties, things that are troubling, or maybe our best selves don't necessarily show up in those situations. So maybe we can think about part of the practice that we're doing now, even if while we're meditating, we don't feel anything in particular. It's part of practicing for those times in which difficulties rise, and that it'll be easier to have kindness for ourselves and kindness for others. Metta as loving kindness. Today I'm emphasizing the kindness part of that compound word. Okay, so maybe we'll do some meditation practice. So taking an alert, upright posture. A posture that has ease and balance and some alertness. Just feeling into the body in general. Arriving with the body, landing with the body. And noticing that the body is breathing. You might notice that in the chest, in the belly, feeling of air going in and out of the nose, or maybe the shoulders. Sometimes we can feel the breath in our back, this slight movement in the back, but without straining. Is there a place in which the attention can rest and kind of ride the waves of breathing? And just hanging in there with an inhale. And an exhale. And when the mind wanders, just very simply, gently begin again with the sensations of breathing. Can we notice the attitude or mood that the mind is in? Is there a way in which we might just give a little bit of a test drive of kindness? What would that be like to infuse our mindfulness of breathing with kindness? And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bring into mind a lovable being, someone for whom it's easy to have some warm feelings, some goodwill, warm wishes, care, respect, kindness. This can be somebody we know, and we have an uncomplicated relationship with, or perhaps it's somebody we don't know, but somebody who has touched our life. Or maybe it's a pet or an imaginary, kittens, puppies, babies. And connecting with this lovable being by visualizing them, or maybe there's another way in which you might feel connected to them. And then to support our cultivation, development of loving kindness, can repeat these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And if you find yourself lost in thought or somehow not here with loving kindness, can you be kind to yourself and just very simply begin again? We don't have to make it a problem. When the mind wanders, we just begin again. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And we can extend our loving kindness to a good friend, bringing them to mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You're welcome to change the phrases. Maybe there are some other words that are more resonant for you. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to extend a loving kindness to ourselves. Of course, we extend loving kindness to ourselves. Sometimes we forget. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Can we extend some kindness to ourselves? May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Can we extend our loving kindness one more time? Our neutral person, somebody that we don't know, maybe somebody on this Zoom call, maybe somebody you see in your neighborhood on occasion. A stranger. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Somebody we don't know. Can we extend some kindness? Extend some metta. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And why not use some equanimity practice here at the end? To bring into mind somebody that we care about, but sometimes they're a little bit irksome. Not the most difficult person in our life, but somebody who's bothersome sometimes. We can say this phrase: I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. And then to end this meditation, feeling your feet on the ground, feeling the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So this idea that being unkind is not going to make anything better, including being unkind to ourselves if we discover that we've been unkind. We don't have to add an unkindness on top of an unkindness. We don't have to beat ourselves up. But just to notice, like, oh yeah, I kind of get activated in these types of situations. Maybe learn from that. But it can be helpful to talk with others about these ideas, about this statement that there will never be a situation where being unkind to yourself, others, or the situation that confronts you is going to make anything better, ever. Maybe as part of a breakout group, or have an opportunity to talk about this idea with others, that it won't make anything better by being unkind. So you'll be in groups of three or four and have a opportunity to discuss some of these ideas. And it can be helpful to just say one thing, and then it goes to the next person, and they say one thing, and then it goes to the third person, and they says one thing, and then it comes to the fourth person, and then back around to the first. So everybody's doing more listening than speaking. And this, and then it comes back around to the first person, and then it can go, maybe you'll have to make a few times around the circle. And in this way, it allows everybody to have an opportunity to have something to say and kind of give a format other than, oh my goodness, we only have 3 minutes left. Okay, everybody else say something, you know, to kind of get so you don't have that where one person ends up doing most of the speaking. And let's go in alphabetical order, so by your screen name. And here we go. So does anybody have a question or a comment, something they'd like to share? How was that talk about this idea of kindness and being unkind won't make things better? Yes, Nancy.
I was sharing with my group that I had some, I didn't like the phrase as much as I did the one where you talked about trying always be loving, and if you can't be loving, be kind. And if you can't be kind, then do no harm. And if you can't do no harm, then do as little harm as possible. It seemed to allow more of a gradation of how you can be kind or do to choose the wiser path. Phrase today seemed more absolutist. So
it was, yeah.
And so I guess I just prefer the other one.
Yeah, yeah. But can you think, Nancy, can you think of a situation in which to be unkind would make things better?
I can't. The only thing that I shared with my group is that I have had an occasion working when I was making an argument in court where we were going after somebody who we considered had done something very wrong, and I was very forceful in my advocacy and very passionate about it, and I wouldn't consider that kindness, but I considered it more of what you said about that not being a doormat. Mm-hmm. For people, and to go ahead and you can stand your ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's hard for me to think that anything I said in that moment was kind.
I see.
But it was necessary.
I see. Thank you. Anybody else have something they'd like to share, a question?
Yeah, I was in Nancy's group, and I had a much different reaction to the quote. I didn't see it as like, a command, you must be kind, but more like an invitation to, kind of check it out, that when I feel unkind, to just ask, is this helpful in this situation? And just see, like, what I think. Because I have a lot of impulses that, the bad parts of me and other people should be corrected with unkindness. This kind of self-righteous, this should be corrected with unkindness. So it's just, so it's like an invitation to stop and say, could kindness do more help than unkindness in the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Christine. I find myself often doing that too when I encounter language, this absolutist language, never, ever, always, try to feel like, well, wait, is there a time that this would make sense? And that's kind of what you're pointing to also, is this inquiry, like, would it make, is it helpful here? Where would it be helpful to be unkind? Yeah. Thank you. Barbara.
My group also brought up another way of behaving, and that is avoidance. It's like, just going to avoid this.
Yeah. Sometimes that's the kind thing to do for ourselves or for the other person. Yeah. Thank you. Well, it's 1 minute after the hour here. So thank you. Thank you all for your practice and your engagement and kind of like, you know, thinking about these things instead of just letting them just wash over. I mean, I appreciate that very much. Kind of like, does this make sense? Do I agree with this? I mean, that's a way to kind of really have it incorporated into our lives. If it does make sense for us, if we feel like it is supportive for us. And if it doesn't feel supportive, we can leave it behind. So maybe we can unmute and say goodbye in a raucous way. So goodbye and thank you. Thank you,
Diana. Thank you.
Good night, Diana.
Bye.
Good night, everyone.
See you, Neil.